Carla, please call the next item.
Item 1217, authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder for construction of St. John's Cathedral Park Sewer Rehabilitation Project number E10330 for an estimated cost of $7,740,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. As you'll recall, the BES team was here yesterday at 9:30. They spent the entire day with us, went to David Douglas hoping to be heard, came back, camped out here because they were hoping this morning we would start early, and here they are. So this is the embodiment of public service.
So we're continuing this till next Thursday?
We're joined by Scott Gibson, BES Manager for Design Services, Margaret Russell, Project Manager, and Debbie, are you the public involvement person? Well, great. Thank you all for joining us. The St. John's Cathedral Park Sewer Rehab Project will repair and replace severely deteriorated sewer pipes, manholes, and related infrastructure in the St. John's and Cathedral Park neighborhoods. This project is part of Environmental Services' large-scale sewer rehabilitation program to maintain and improve the sewer system throughout the city. The project is set to begin in April of 2018 and will be completed by the summer of 2019. I've actually reviewed the map on this, and Debbie, it has significant impacts, both residential and commercial. So this one's going to even test you, and you're the gold standard. Hear from the Bureau of Environmental Services. More information, Scott, Margaret, and Debbie.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, Mayor. I forgot my reading glasses, so I'm going to turn this over to Margaret.
Is the microphone on?
It seems like this microphone is
it,
not.
It is. It's lit, but Debbie, would you tap on yours, see if yours is working?
Oh, great. Maybe just swap one out. That one, for whatever reason, just doesn't. No.
Maybe only this one.
That works.
Wow. Yeah, that one's the winner.
All right. You can do the talk.
One out of three.
Okay. My name is Margaret Russell. I am a senior engineering associate with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I am the project manager for St. John's Cathedral Park Rehab Project. This project is part of the large-scale sewer program. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, it is number 31 out of 39. You can see on the screen on this slide that our project is shown in green, the St. John's Cathedral Park project. It is bordered by North Columbia North Columbia Boulevard, North Reno, North Gilbert, and then also North Edison on the south. The project is going to rehabilitate severely deteriorated sewer pipe and also construct 19 sewer six sewer extensions for 19 nonconforming sewer properties. It's going to be replacing mains, laterals, and manholes, and it will increase the sewer capacity in the area and the reliability in the area. It's going to be protecting public health, property, and the environment by reducing the risk of sewer releases to homes, businesses, and streets. As an overview of what the project will do, we have 76 pipe segments for 15,000 linear feet of pipe. It is a typical large-scale sewer project with sizes of pipe from 8 inches to 27. The majority of the diameters are 8 inch to 12. And as Commissioner Finch mentioned, it is primarily in residential, but we do have two ODOT right-of-ways, and there is some work in downtown St. John's. To show you some of the defects that the project will repair, on the top row, we have mainline defects. The first one is showing deteriorated concrete pipe. The next is broken clay. And then in the far right, upper right, it is the deteriorating rebar that's exposed in a larger diameter sewer. Other defects we have to deal with are broken lateral pipes and holes in laterals, often that are at the main of the sewer. For an overview of the construction methods, we have six segments where we have localized spot repairs to the main. We have lining for 17 segments and open cut construction for 34 segments. Also on this project, for 19 segments, we will have either open cut or pipe bursting proposed that the contractor will bid on when the project goes to bid. I'll explain a little bit more about that on the next slide. This approach for being able to bid on 19 segments, open cut or pipe burst, is being pilot tested on St. John's and also on the Portsmouth University Park project that will be coming up later in the spring.
Are you going to explain what those two different construction methods are, open cut and pipe burst?
Yes.
Okay,
and I'll
great.
Do.
Thank you.
Open cut construction is when you have when a trench is cut through the middle of the street and then pipe is laid. Old pipe is removed and new pipe is laid. Pipe bursting is where you would have a trench at the one end and a receiving pit at another end, and you would burst the pipe under the ground without opening up the pavement. You have to have proper geological conditions under the soil for that. You also have to have different slope for the pipe, and the existing pipe has to be in a state that replacing it can be done through pipe bursting.
Okay. Very good. Thank
so those
you.
Are the two. For the pilot bidding approach, the reason this came about is because several recent large-scale sewer programs have had contractors propose to change orders for the construction method during construction to change from open cut to trenchless pipe bursting after the project had been bid. The goal of this contractor choice approach is allow the contractor to select the preferred construction method during the bidding phase when pricing is expected to be favorable for the city. The option of selecting a construction method is only allowed where site-specific constraints do not dictate a construction method, such as lining or open cut only. And the only two options for construction in these contractor choice segments of pipe are open cut and pipe bursting. To implement this pilot program, the bidding approach has also changed. Pipe bursting and lining have typically been bid on a linear foot approach. This approach is expanded in this pilot program to all segments that are being pipe replaced. The contractor will provide a cost per linear feet for each pipe run in the project.
Which one tends to be cheaper?
Pipe bursting. There are factors that are involved, such as how many laterals you have on a segment, because even if you burst the pipe, you have to dig down where the laterals are. So pipe bursting is very affordable if there are few laterals that have to then be open cut.
And when they change their minds in the middle of construction, is it which way does it generally go?
So it usually goes from open cut construction to pipe bursting. And it also allows contractors who are experienced and feel have equipment for this, gives them an opportunity.
So they bid it on the more expensive option and then they do a less expensive one.
In the past, you could have an open cut section of pipe, and during construction, if the contractor saw there was a cost savings and that cost savings is shared between the city and the contractor.
That was what I was wondering. Thank you.
This allows it to be done in advance of construction so there's less change orders, less shuffling of paper. It allows it to be done ahead of time.
Thank you. All right. Once again, Commissioner Fish, you've managed to make something like this extremely interesting. Thank you.
All right. So for our public outreach, there's been extensive coordination with over 300 email addresses getting mailings, as well as 600 addresses getting mailings from the public involvement staff. They've been at tablings, at presentations at new neighborhood associations. Also, the public involvement staff have been working closely with the St. John's Boosters, which is the local business association, to help mitigate any impacts throughout this project. We also have noise variances, which we have requested and been granted in 7 locations, which are for the typical reasons of having traffic restrictions and or the lining of the pipe has a curing time that lasts into the evening.
What does CIPP stand for?
Lining of pipe, where you put a line through the pipe and then you have to cure it.
Okay, thank you.
So are these the main disruptions, the noise and the traffic, or You know, is there a limitation on when people can flush or anything like that?
Whenever you're lining, there would be a limitation that gets where you aren't to be flushing, and they plug the lateral. And usually, if the length of time is short enough, the just plugging the lateral is good enough, and that there isn't the flow can occur. There's only if you had a substantial amount of flow where there might be restrictions for a building to not flush or use their toilets.
So does most of your public outreach focus on the traffic and the noise? Is there ever a time where you might say?
For the night work, the reasons for the night work is specifically because of the traffic restrictions we were required by transportation and the Office of, or the Oregon Department of Transportation to have those restrictions. We don't normally like to work at night. It's more expensive. It's, you know, not as safe. And then when we did really have the public involved in this, they actually came to the noise hearing, members of the public, and they said that they were extremely impressed. This is kudos to the noise board for their really felt that they were looking out for the public as well as our bureau was too. And I happened to have two projects that night that I was presenting, so it was an exhausting night. But the noise board really does try to work with us, and they understand what we have to go through to get this. But luckily, the St. John's Boosters were extremely relieved to hear that we are doing night work on Lombard in downtown St. John's, which was a requirement, but it also will help their with the businesses.
Right.
So.
Finally, for our engineer's estimate, it, as was stated, it's $7,740,000. Our level of confidence is moderate. While the scope of the project is typical of past projects, we have a higher level of uncertainty due to this new bidding approach, as well as the input from the contracting community indicates that bidding prices may be rising in Portland due to the labor and material availability from the rebuilding efforts in Southeast United States.
So if it turns out to be more expensive, we often get coming back to say we need more money for the contract. If it turns out to be less expensive, does the contractor just keep that, or is there some way of splitting it between the city and the contractor?
It's the contractor will be the competitive bidding in that the contractors will be putting in, and whoever gets the lowest bid, and that will be the price that we will pay for the materials for this contract.
If they save money or they get done quicker, they pocket it and we don't get any of it?
So, do you mind?
Yeah, go for it.
What we've seen is the, we don't have a complete understanding of the, basically the finances of the open cut versus the pipe bursting methodology. It's a new technique, new tools, and we believe it is saving money for the contractors. What we wanted to do in this case was, if you imagine five contractors bidding with the lowest price, by letting all of them know that these two options are available, letting them estimate what they could do with their tools, with their equipment, they can give us the best price in advance. And by doing, and they will be competing against each other to offer the best price for us. What we've seen in the past is only select contractors had this ability. They would basically assume that this kind of a substitution would be made, and they'd come in under the other bidders. And we didn't feel like we were capturing that cost savings.
Right. So it is, I find, troubling when companies get it because they're the lowest bid, and then they come back and say, oh, actually, no, we need to do more. The other thing I just discovered this week about Pioneer Courthouse Square renovations, that was built into that clause that if there were any savings over the estimate, that the city would get 75% and Howard S. Wright would get 25%, which seemed to me very generous, especially when Howard S. Wright then donated the money, their share, back to the city. But it does seem like, just in contracts in general, that it would be good to have some kind of an incentive to stop gaming it by bidding low and then coming back. And also, you know, they get to keep some, but we get some as well.
I think this has been we've been trying to describe a process that we split a lot of thought into in this conversation. And I think what we may have missed is that we believe by allowing the substitution for pipe bursting before the bids, and letting the contractors know how we'll evaluate that. We will encourage all of the contractors to make that substitution, drive the prices lower for the city. And that's what we met yesterday with the Northwest Underground Contractors Association, which are all of our contractors, went through this with them yesterday to make sure they all understood what the intent was, so that they knew going into it that they should offer us the best price they possibly could afford based on their tools, their individual abilities and skills.
Not to mention the time saver, which is a savings with hourly billing rates as well with the paperwork.
In conclusion, this project is planning to advertise in December and begin construction in April with an 18-month construction period. At this point, are there further questions?
Colleagues? Very good. Are there any people signed up for public testimony on this item, Carla?
I didn't set out the sign-up sheet.
Anybody want to testify on this item? Seeing none, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.
Debbie, we'll see you Saturday with the deep.
No.
Are you at the parade?
Oh, I'm not. No, I'm not. Sorry. But we'll be well represented, so thank you.
Very good. We have no other business. We're adjourned.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, we have another one, 219. Oh, yeah.
No, that was continued to the 15th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we continued that. Good. We're adjourned. That?
We did 1218 too? Okay.
We did 12 at the beginning before you
came. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So this has gone to when?
The 19th. That was a 2 p.m. time certain, correct, for that one.
By the way, it looks like we've made some progress
on the
clock. We're only half an hour off now.
Which item?
219.
It's because it hasn't moved.
That clock is kind of ominous.
It hasn't moved at all since we got here.
Hey, yeah, that
broken
is,
clock is right once a day.
That's just regular agenda.
Twice a day.
Well, twice.
The 19th?
Right, on the 15th.
Okay, good.
Next
Thank
Wednesday,
you.
The 15th. Okay. 219. Getting my 15s and 19s mixed up.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Have a nice weekend, everybody. So